This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Cousin Sal's winning weekend. We are marching towards the NCAA tournament, just a little over a week away from Selection Sunday. And we've got a Carolina Blue kind of show for you today coming up. We've got former Tar Heel and two-time NBA champion with the Houston Rockets, Kenny the Jet Smith. Did you know he's not related to former coach Dean Smith? I did some research for this interview. Yes, I did. After Kenny from the Against All Odds podcast, the D3, Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren, the Parley Kid, will join me to talk NBA futures and UFC 299. And later on, we've got some Oscar-worthy bets for you. But first, let's recap the biggest sports stories and something Joe Lenardi has on the bubble as one of his last four segments in. It's Cover 4.
Cover 1.
All right, you know, it took a while, but I'm happy to announce I have finally found my new favorite college basketball player. No, it is not Bronny James. I know I just got disinvited to Taco Tuesday, but say hello to Indiana State's Robbie Avila, more affectionately nicknamed by the internet Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Isn't he lovely? The Sycamore sophomore has been a force this season, averaging 17 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 visits to Whataburger per game. Look at these highlights. He's like a slow cooker in slow motion. And how about those rec specs? This majestic sight is putting up 2020s without the benefit of 2020 vision. Last week, Larry Nerd dropped 35 points on Evansville. His team, Indiana State, is 26-5 and ranked in the top 25. They're going to the dance, and when they get there, let me say, as a fat man myself, I vote that we officially rename this thing Munch Madness. I'm not kidding. Let Robbie be the bifocal point of fans for the entire month of March. Let's cut to the chase, get this tournament started, and give Kareem his one dining moment and root hard as he bites the Nets down on his way to the Final Four. God bless Indiana State and Robbie Avila, our one-man Cinder delicatessen.
Cover 2.
All right, last week at the NFL Combine, all eyes and stopwatches were on University of Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy, who broke the 40-yard dash record with a blistering 4.21 time. Just how fast is that? Watch this. Babyface Joel Solomon, go run and get me a Diet Coke in 4.21 seconds.
That's not happening.
You see? It's that fast. 4.21 seconds means Xavier Worthy is insanely quick, and GMs would be insane for drafting him. Yeah, his super speed will probably help his draft position, but history shows these track stars have a bad track record on Sundays. Look at these underachievers: John Ross, J.J. Nelson, Tyrone Calico, Jerome Mathis, Dre Archer. The only thing quicker than their 40 times was their NFL shelf life, and general managers know this. That's why, despite Mel Kiper Jr. giving him a high grade, Forrest Gump went undrafted out of Alabama. Well, unless you count being drafted into the Army. Look, 4-2-1 is still an incredible accomplishment, but speed like that of Xavier Worthy's is better served rescuing a dog from a burning building or dressing as the Flash at children's birthday parties. Blazing times don't generally translate to NFL stardom. This is why I'm convinced Tyreek Hill pulled up when he ran his 40 time and only clocked a 4.31. He knew it was better to be fast, but not too fast, and he's still considered the speediest guy in the league. Smart guy, that Tyreek Hill, except in the rare case when an OnlyFans model challenges him to a friendly football drill. The thinking in that case, maybe not so quick.
Cover three.
Okay, I'm not sure if you heard about this, but there's a big vote coming up that's going to have major implications on all of our futures. Yep, NFL owners will be voting on a technology that would measure first downs electronically and in essence get rid of the traditional chain system. More AI replacing jobs. Good work, Biden. I'm kidding, of course. This would be a great move, which will hopefully lead to the extinction of other archaic determining factors. Like, how about instead of a groundhog figuring out if we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter, the mayor of Punxsutawney just holds up an algorithm-run robot to let us know? Fingers crossed on that one. But honestly, if the only thing keeping this from passing is the question of what we're going to do with these useless chains, have no fear, because I have ideas. Neighbors could use them to figure out property disputes. Nightclub bouncers could utilize them to help people remain in line. And if there's another pandemic, we could use them to make sure people are standing 30 feet away from each other. Either way, using technology to measure first down seems long overdue. Trust me, no one's going to miss the 75-year-old official jogging across the field, sticking his foot in the mud and dropping a field marker into the ground like he just discovered the Ottoman Empire. Sorry, chain gang. You know, perhaps you'll finally learn your lesson that gang life doesn't pay. And maybe you'll get lucky and Taylor Swift will write a song about you. Now, if only AI could figure out what a catch is, then I'd be really impressed.
Cover four!
Alright, it's only March, and already brand new Dodger superstar Shohei Ohtani is murdering the ball in LA. As of yesterday, I think he was batting 500 in the Cactus League. And if you think that's ridiculous, wait until you hear the statement he came out with last week. Here's what he said. A new life with someone from my native country of Japan who is very special to me. I wanted everyone to know I am now married. And this is troubling news in any language, really. And I'm trying to figure out an analogy for this. I think I came up with a perfect one. This is like if, let's say, a single person was all of a sudden paid $700 million to live in Los Angeles and then decided it was time to get married. Oh, Tani, how could you? Why would you? I'm sure she's a lovely lady, and I don't blame her for forcing him to make this announcement. From her perspective, her boyfriend moved to LA. Now's the time to tell everyone he's taken. She probably saw one episode of Magic Johnson in Winning Time and was like, yeah, that's enough of that. But the bottom line is, Shohei is only thinking about himself. He's a very selfish man. He's denying pathetic sports fans like myself from seeing him have some fun by dating a Jenner, or a Fanning, or a Sasha, or a Malia. Hell, Derek Jeter dated someone new every at-bat, and I'm not saying Ohtani needs to go to that extreme, and I promise, I'm not being chauvinistic. I'll say the exact same thing when Caitlin Clark is drafted by the LA Sparks. Shohei, I know you're slated to jump in as DH, but would it kill you to play the field for a minute? He didn't understand a word I said, did he? Whatever. I gotta go. My wife needs her bunion shaved. All right, that does it for the covers. Now it's time for my irrationally angry attempt to make rational sense of a somewhat irrational bet. It's Wager Radio. All right, the 96th Academy Awards takes place this Sunday. They're doing it from Hollywood this year. Toledo, Ohio just lost out on the bid. So close. My cousin Jimmy Kimmel will be the MC. It's his fourth time hosting. One more and he gets free trips to the La Brea Tar Pits for life. But right now, I want to talk about Killers of the Flower Moon, a movie nominated for Best Picture. It's based on a true story about the unfortunate plight of the Osage community. It's a film that needed to be made, and it's also a film that needed to be shortened. 3 hours and 24 minutes. Martin Scorsese directed. He's terrific, of course, but how is it possible that his films are longer than his eyebrow? This movie is so long, it's nominated for next year's Oscars. Scorsese did this to us a couple years ago with The Irishman. Wolf of Wall Street before that, Casino, all great, but even greater if they didn't clock in at almost 3 hours or longer. I'm telling you, this Scorsese character is a human rain delay. I mean, I get that old people take forever to tell stories, but someone needs to hide the decaf from meandering Marty. It's just not fair. Let's compare it to the sports world. We don't let Nikola Jokic keep shooting with no time limit until he scores 100 points per game and then call him the best, right? Sure, Joey Chestnut can eat 1,000 hot dogs, but we're wise to cut him off at 10 minutes for the well-being of everyone watching in the front row. All I'm saying is Leonardo DiCaprio shouldn't be able to take 12 paternity tests in the time it takes to watch Killers of the Flower Moon.
You are not.
That's the rager. Here's the wager. In the spirit of teams that take forever to tell their story, I'm going with the team who averages the longest possessions, the New York Knicks, average over 15.3 seconds, to win more than 48.5 games. That's right, FanDuel has you covered with in-season win totals. That's 13-7 they have to go the rest of the way. They have 5 games against the Pistons, Spurs, and Bulls. And win those, you basically go 500 the rest of the stretch. Bing bong. Thank you, Mom. We're all over the flower moon when this one cashes. Coming up, the D3 and I roll out the red carpet for our Oscars best bets. Plus, who was the greatest team in the UNC-Duke rivalry? Well, we don't really know for sure, but we have thoughts. But after the break, we get down to business with one of the best in the business. Kenny the Jet Smith joins us. He has a secret admirer. And that guy's name is Timothy Chalamet. I swear to God, I'm not making that up. That's all next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Stick around.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Let's bring in our guest. He is a 2-time NBA champion and Emmy-winning analyst on the greatest sports television program of all time inside the NBA. And now, author of the book Talk of Champions. Pick that up right now, or you know what? Wait until after the interview. Kenny the Jet Smith is here. Thanks for joining us, Kenny. What's happening?
Man, thanks for having me, Sal. I had a long way around to get here, but I'm here, man. I'm here.
I'm glad we have you. What about that, first of all? I called Inside the NBA the greatest sports show of all time, and people could argue with that, but they'd be dead wrong. I feel like you, Charles, Shaq, and Ernie could sit there and just stare at each other for the next 10 years without saying a word, and it would still be the overall best sports TV show.
Well, I don't know if we're the best, but I would say that, you know, for basketball, there's nothing been not like for basketball. Because I think we're the first show that's taken the sport and made it a entertainment show instead of a basketball show. We were the first to do that. I know no one was doing that before we did it.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're right. I mean, there's so many reasons. It's great. First of all, any of you could tear an ACL any night, just racing to the screen in the back. So you don't just that alone. You don't have
Knock
that in any
wood,
other.
It's not me, man.
No,
Knock
yes,
wood, it's
of
not
course.
Me.
I don't think it's going to be you. But you know, the other thing is, people wait for the game to be over to see you guys. They're excited for the game to end. I don't think we get that in any other sport, any other genre, anything. So
I've never, honestly, the greatest compliment I ever hear is that, hey, I didn't watch the game, but I watched you guys.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest compliment, because that would be like saying, I'm not going to go to the Beyonce concert. I'm going to wait till some poor guys talk about it. Like, that, it wouldn't make sense, because LeBron James you don't watch the LeBron James show, but you'd wait till someone talks about it.
Okay, so it's nice if it just sits there as a compliment, but what about giving people what they want? Like, we don't want to waste those 3 hours. Could you see a day when the four of you do a Manning cast type show, calling the game as you see it go down, or is that too much trouble? Is Charles going to get you guys fired?
No, it's not too much trouble at all.
Yeah.
I don't know, it would be oversaturating ourselves in terms of like people would get, I don't know. I just feel that what we do is super honest. It's our opinions, and we let you know it's only our opinion as well. So it's not law. It's not how the world should work. It's the opinion of the person. And because I have two other strong personalities, three with Ernie, but really with Charles and Shaq,
yep,
they also know that we don't give in to each other. So regardless of the situation, we're not going to give in unless we honestly believe the person next to us as well. So right. I think that's what's fun. That's what makes it authentic. And I've never been on a show, even as a guest, where that happens, you know,
right.
Never. You know, one year, Charles and I were doing a show, and they're like, well, what are you going to say? And I go, I laugh. I go, yeah, you're going to hear it when I say it. And so they go, okay, well, why don't you take this opinion? And and Charles taps me. He's like, wait. Kenny and I never disagreed. It's just to disagree. Like, no, if we agree when he says it, I'll agree. And if we disagree, we're going to say it. That was when we first started doing NCAA. And that changed the way that direction of the show went, because we're not going to just make things up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to switch gears a little on you. We'll get back to Inside the NBA and your book. I want to talk about it all. But I assume you've heard this. What did you think about Timothy Chalamet considering you a style icon? That's pretty impressive.
Well, my sister, who has been a stylist and a buyer for different department stores in terms of fashion, was happy because she's the one who taught me all of the things that I know about fashion.
Right.
She's the early one. She's like, Kenny, you cannot wear that color with that color. If you're going to wear plaid, you can wear polka dots if you wear it this way. Like all of the things. Like, so I had no idea I was on his radar. I had no idea. I would never think that I'm on his radar. And which is even funnier because not long ago, I went to see Wonka with my daughter. So here it is. And I'm like, I get it. My daughter calls me and she's 11. She's like, did you realize that he said? And I'm like, who are you talking about? She's like, Wonka. He liked the way he dressed.
Yeah. She's like, take this scarf. You never know if Wonka is watching, right? You don't know.
Exactly.
You have the book Talk of Champions out. We'll discuss it in a second. Could Timothy Chalamet play you in the movie version of Talk of Champions?
I tell you, he might get a chapter in the next verse, in the next book. You know, because again, the Talk of Champions is about people I've met or people that have influenced me in some way in a positive light. So each chapter is named after a specific person. Right. So next I might have a fashion section next time.
So UNC Duke this weekend, your Tar Heels are ranked 7th. They have a share of the outright conference championship, no matter what happens Saturday. But I'm thinking, first of all, I bet them to get a 1 seed. I think if they win this game and run the table and one of the SEC teams gets tripped up in their conference tournament, I think maybe could jump to a 1 seed. What do you think about this team's prospects for this weekend and for the tournament in March?
You know, I think they're really good. They have all the elements, you know, they have now an experienced coach who's been to a Final Four, final game. They also have veterans who've been to the wars of tournaments. And then they have an influx of new. So they have all of the elements. When they're shooting the three, they are the best team, I think, in college basketball when it's going in. And when they're shooting with a proficiency and not just RJ Davis, when they have two or three other guys that are really dependable from the 3-point line, it opens the game up. When Ingram and Godot knock down threes, then they become, I think, the best team in college basketball.
Yeah. And let me ask you this. I don't even know if you've ever thought about this, but this is the greatest rivalry in college, maybe just in sports in general, but it continues even after the legendary coaches have gone. But if you took the Duke Carolina teams of the past and put them all in a tournament, right, against each other, which year, which team prevails?
Ooh. Probably the 82
your guys
championship team.
Yeah.
When North Carolina, when Michael Jordan hits the shot from the corner, that's maybe the best. So you got two. There's no other team that has two top 50 players of all time. They had James Worthy and Michael Jordan. So there's no other team in college basketball. As great as Christian Laettner was for Duke, you know, I don't think he was. I think James Worthy, if he stays another year, would have done the exact same thing. They would have been, they won a national championship. Would they come back? They would have won again.
Yeah, that's a pretty good, safe answer. And Jordan hadn't even at the time yet had the benefit of a variety of sneakers that you offered him, right? I mean, so who knows how much even better it could have been.
Yeah. How better he would have felt walking around campus with better clothes on.
Exactly. Yes. All right. I'm going to give you a hypothetical as we switch to the NBA in this season. You do Inside the NBA next week. You're exhausted. You go to sleep in the green room. You don't wake up until mid-June. I know. Weird. Shaq, Charles, Ernie, they wake you up. They tap you on the shoulder. They tell you the Celtics didn't win the title and the Nuggets didn't win the title. Who would you guess won the championship? This is a long way for me to ask you who's the third best team right now.
That is actually a great way to put it.
Okay.
I became Rip Van Winkle, right. And they didn't win. And I would say, man, that's amazing that those Clippers stayed healthy.
All right, Clippers. All right, I'm going to mark that down. Before you go, I want to play a quick game with you. Now, after 25, 26 years of working together on Inside the NBA, right, you know your co-host very well. So I'm going to ask you a question. You tell me who this fits best. Is it Shaq, Charles, Ernie, or yourself? We're going to call this Inside the NBA. I'm saying
and it's
going to
be so clear because we're so diametrically different. It's so right. Clear.
This is one I think you've discussed on the show a few times. Who is most likely to pick up the check between the four of you?
Charles.
Charles. Okay.
Charles likes to pay before he gets there. He likes to be the guy who and tell you that he picked up the check. Yeah, so it's Chuck.
It's a point of pride for him. All right. Very generous. Yeah. All right. On the other hand, who asks for the most freebies?
Surprisingly, Shaq.
Really? Okay.
The guy who has the most money, worth $1 billion, loves freebies. Like, if you come in and say, put it like this. A month ago, he borrows weight from me.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I have some weights in the locker. He's like, can I get those?
Okay, this might force you to think a little more. Who's most likely to succeed Adam Silver as NBA commissioner?
Without question, I would.
It's you.
Because I know what the collective bargaining agreement actually means. I was actually a player rep. So if you tell me what is the salary cap and why it moves, you know, they're saying, let's make this trade. And I'm like, you can't even make that trade because of the contracts, guys. Like, so no, without question.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was easy, I guess, for you. All right. Who, I think I know the answer to this, but who is most likely to get in a fight with Draymond Green?
Chuck. But Shaq is not far behind.
Mm-hmm.
But Chuck would start the fight. Shaq would finish the fight, if you know what I mean. Like,
right.
Chuck would start the fight with Draymond. But if Draymond would do anything, Shaq would end the fight. You know what I mean? Like, it's a two different thing. One, both the soldiers. Here it is. Chucky Brown had the greatest line, and I always use it. Chucky Brown, I played like 15 years in the league. He's like, he's a soldier. Man, you love to play with him. He's a soldier, Kenny. He's like, yeah, but he's always looking for war. So Charles is the soldier. They're both soldiers. Mm-hmm. But Charles is always looking for war.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So now let me ask you this. If FanDuel were to put a line on it and it got that far, how would Shaq fare again? Who's favored, Shaq or Draymond in that fisticuffs?
What year? Like, not even now. Even now,
right,
I go Shaq.
Really?
Shaq is maybe the strongest human being other than, I don't know the tales of Will Chamberlain,
But
he's the strongest human being that's ever played in the NBA. Like, he would pick up, he could probably pick up, my guy used to play with Oklahoma City, who looks like the actor, like Stephen Adams.
He
could pick up, he probably could pick Stephen Adams up and create him like a baby, like, like, Shaq might be the strongest human being ever that played in the NBA.
I think you're right. And I think he plays possum a little, because we see him like rolling around the studio and fake losing a wrestling match or something. But
I've seen him literally pick Charles up like he was his son. Like, and Charles was at that time way over 300 pounds. And he could pick him up like he was his son.
All right. Wow. All right. I love that answer. All right. And now finally, one more. Who is most likely to have nudes leaked on the internet?
Shaq.
Wow, you didn't even think. You didn't give that one second of hesitation.
Shaq doesn't care, because he doesn't care. Right. Like, he walks around. He walks around the clubhouse like he's still in the clubhouse. Rather, he's still getting dressed, and he's like, "Oh, where's my tie?" And he comes out like he doesn't care. He has no filter. Shaq has no filter in terms of a mental filter. Like, no, you can't do that here. Like, it's like we're not still in the locker room, kind of like. No, he walks around. No, that's Shaq all day. We're there so much. We're like, can we put like some exercise equipment in here? We're here all day. Like, so we got hours in between, like a bike. He's riding his bike in his boxes. Period.
Right.
That's it. Just boxes. I open the door. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? He's like, yo, I'm working out. I'm like, yeah, but you're in your boxes only. Shaq, without question.
It's the way you describe it, I'm surprised it hasn't happened already. I mean, even by accident.
Oh, man. It would be by accident for him.
Right. I gotcha. All right. Well, look out. Maybe you could utilize that in the fight against Draymond Green. So many possibilities there. Well, thanks so much, Kenny. I appreciate it. That was Inside the NBA. Inside the NBA. And you can see him on Inside the NBA and get his book, Talk of Champions. It's available now. Kenny, thanks so much. Go Tar Heels this weekend.
Man, go Heels, brother. Appreciate
all right. you. We'll be right back with more Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend.
All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Hey, as we head into March Madness, I am beginning to get my Field of 68 set. Who's in? Who's out? Well, these bubble brains are always in. My very own squad of Cinderellas. They're my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Bride, Darren, the Paula Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
How you doing, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, fellas, you know, there's so many great players from those UNC-Duke rivalry games. And during the break, the captain of the make-believe Riverboat Casino rolled in. He's a real pain in the ass. He sees we're doing a show, but he has to ask questions anyway. But anyway, this one ended up being good. He asked, who would win in a tournament involving the Duke and North Carolina teams of the past? Would it be the Blue Devils of 91-92, 3-1? The Tar Heels of 81-82, 5-1? Would it be the 0001 Duke Blue Devils at 7-1 odds, the 92-93 Tar Heels at 10-1, or the field at even odds?
Yeah, look, and look, Sal, if you're giving me 7-1 odds for the 2000-2001 Duke team, I'll take that. You know, a lot of people may not think of that, but that team was stacked, right? Had two All-Americans in Jay Williams and Battier. You also had Boozer, Dunleavy, Duhon. So I think four top 10 picks on that team. That team only lost four games that season, and three of those games were by 5 points. They dominated the tournament. And if you recall, they won by 10 points against a very, very good, maybe great Arizona team that year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, Harry, who are you going to pick? You can't take a Syracuse Orange team, okay?
Damn.
I'm just saying UNC Duke here.
Well, I'm going to take the 81-82 Carolina team. This team was amazing. 32-2. They had Michael Jordan, James Worthy, and Sam Perkins on this team. And even they had Buzz Peterson and Matt Doherty, who were no slouches either. They were McDonald's All-Americans as well. Dean Smith was notorious, actually, for letting his players not have monster stats in games. Imagine if he did, because Jordan, Worthy, and Perkins combined for 63,936 points in the pros. Astonishing.
Interesting. Yeah. That was amazing. All these teams are great. And by the way, Harry, don't sell yourself short. You were a McDonald's All-American, too, but it had nothing to do with basketball, right?
Quarter pounder of cheese, baby. Never had a Big Mac in my life, by the way. Never had a Big Mac in my life, I swear.
There you go. All right. I don't know about that. True. All right, Parlay Kid. fill us in. Who do you like?
3 1/4 pounder.
Jerk.
I'm going with Harry here, Sal. Look, three guys. The big three win championships, right? And out of all these teams you've given us, Carolina has the best big three between Sam Perkins, who was a sophomore at the time, Hall of Famer James Worthy, who was a junior at the time, and of course, maybe arguably the best basketball player ever, and Michael Jordan, one of the greatest competitors ever, even though he was a freshman this year. I have to take this UNC team, and props to Matt Doherty, Long Island kid, and Chris Bruss, Sal, Babylon High School, also played on that team.
I forgot about that. Can I change my answer? I forgot about the Babylon kid. All right, I'm going to go. This is kind of selfish because this team bailed me out, but I'm going with the favorite. I don't usually like going chalk with these riverboat categories. But Duke, 91-92. Harry, this is around when I met you, maybe the year after. I was down, and this team really bailed me out, 34-2. Pauly, kid, you talk about like what a competitor Michael Jordan was, and I can't ever take that away from him. But as far as competitors in college, I feel like Christian Laettner had the greatest will to win out of anybody. Now, I know everybody hates him because that's a cool thing to do. But honestly, aside from Jordan and Kobe, but not in college, you couldn't really match Christian Laettner's intensity. He had Hurley, Lang, Laettner, Grant Hill, Cherokee Parks was there. No one did as determined to win as Laettner. They beat UNC by 20. In the ACC title game, and then that close game with Kentucky, of course, the great shot, the turnaround jumper, three quarters court pass, and then they beat Indiana by a few in the Final Four. Parlay Kid, I think you were upstate New York with me watching that Final Four, right?
That's
at least
correct.
The Saturday games.
I had visited Oswego, New York.
Yes.
Darren
was there.
Darren, Cincinnati and Memphis in the Final Four too, right?
I'm Harry right. was there. He took me to the Owl's Nest. So that was amazing.
You know what? We're thinking of a different year then, because Duke beat Indiana in the semis, right? And Michigan won in the other semis. And then Duke crushed Michigan by 20. So maybe that was a year before.
Maybe it was.
Anyway, 34-2, Duke 91-92. That was a great team. It's a tremendous rivalry. It really is. Let's take a look. This weekend's game between Blue Devils and Tar Heels on Saturday. I've not seen a line on it yet. We think Duke will be favored by a couple of points. Carolina won the first one. Right now, you're going Duke. What are you doing, Bri?
Yeah, look, these two teams, I'm going to take Duke, but these two teams are 5-5 against each other in their last 10. Very similar. But UNC has had a couple of conference games on the road, like Syracuse and Georgia Tech, that still sit on my mind. I think Duke's looking to get some revenge here after a 9-point loss at the beginning of February. Duke's just their main three have to all have big games in this one. And it's time for them to beat Tate's Tar Heels. And I'm sure Tate is also hoping they lose, that UNC loses, just to back away some pressure here.
Let me tell you something. Tate is a gutsy fella here. He is going to the game. First of all, North Carolina, sports gambling is legal in North Carolina as of Monday. Maybe not the best timing. You got Tar Heels and Duke Saturday, gambling legal Monday. But anyway, they got it done. Good for North Carolina. Tate is going to be at the game in enemy territory. He was there for Krzyzewski's last game, too, when Carolina won. So he's not afraid to mix it up. And by the way, I asked him, Parlay Kid, I said, if I gave you $5 million, you had to wear Duke clothes the rest of your life, would you do? He said, no way. He said, start at $500 million. Then we'll talk. I don't know. Might be the gummies talking. Anyway, you like the enemy Blue Devils on Saturday.
Yeah, I like Duke. I think they've been playing some good basketball. The revenge factor is in play here. I don't know how Filipowski has recovered from that devastating knee injury so quickly. How has he done it? Let's take the hated Duke Blue Devils in this one, Sal.
All right, there you go. Harry, I'm with you with North Carolina. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm taking the heels too. 5 wins in a row, scored 93 in that earlier meeting against Duke. RJ Davis and Armando Bacot, tremendous 1-2 punch. Davis, 22 points per game, 42% from three from the field. Bacot averages a double-double. Him and Harrison Ingram in the first meeting both had double-digit performances in points and rebounds. And UNC held Duke to 26% shooting from three-point range that game. Let's go Tate Frazier. Let's go heels.
Yeah, I like the heels too. You know, Carolina, I picked them last week to maybe sneak in on that one line.
even if they lose, I read Lenardi. He said they don't necessarily get off the two line. So maybe it's not as important as it is for Duke, who's trying to maintain the three. It's a lot going on. But I think they can get a one. I really do. If the SEC gets a little weird, I think Carolina runs the table. They can get a one seed. Duke shot better, actually, from the floor in that first game, even though they lost by nine. They turned the ball over 11 times to five. That's what UNC's doing well. They're playing good defense. Both teams have been playing well since they met up the first time. As you said, Harry, Baycott had 25 that first game matchup. Ingram had 21. Big RJ Davis game. He averages 21. All right, we just spent like 35 minutes on Carolina Duke. Let's take a break. Don't go anywhere, anyone. When we return, we hit it all, from the Oscars to the Octagon, as we give our best bets for this weekend's actions. Could it be an Oppenheimer-Poirier sweep? Find out when we return on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. We've still got the D3 here with us. Harry, Brother Bride, Darren, the Parlay Kid. Lots of basketball action. Still some value in the NBA, especially in the will, won't make the playoffs category. Let's pick a few that jumped out at us. Now, Bri, yours kind of goes with mine here. I think I, on Against the Odds, probably gave out Dallas to make the playoffs or something. Wasn't I pro Dallas? And I had no reason to be, even after Cuban killed me last by sitting everybody the last couple weeks. I'm completely out of it now, and I think you are too. I see a little swoon here.
Yeah, look, I really like the Mavericks not to make the playoffs at plus 176. And look, here we go again. Like you said, are they going to collapse again down the stretch like they did last year and intentionally tank to keep the pick away from the Knicks? Yeah, they've been bad. They've lost five of their last six, which includes two blowout losses to the Pacers. I could easily see them. They very easily could fall to 9 or 10, Sal. And if that's the case, they're going to struggle to make it. So I think plus 176 is a really good value here.
Do we know if there's any benefit in them tanking?
Yeah.
The other one we knew about.
Well, it's like this. It's like the same thing again. It's like top 10 protected again.
Is it really still?
Yeah, I think one more year here. I think I'm pretty sure it's exactly the same.
What the hell the Knicks do? What are we doing? All right. Well, listen, mine goes along with yours. Like I said, I'm going with the Warriors minus 128. I'm doing something I hardly ever do. I am buying way, way low on the Warriors. Now, they lost by 50 to Boston. That's going to leave a bad taste in everyone's mouth for a while. That was last week. You know, Curry had four. I think they had five threes versus 27 at Boston. No one's looking at this Warriors team as a playoff squad, really. Their schedule, though, not too crazy. They have four or five, I think, left against the Spurs and the Hornets. But it doesn't really matter because they're up five games on the Jazz in that 10th spot. Not a great place to be, that 10th spot. But I think they could fight back. I think a team like Dallas could drop. Maybe they could get to 7 or 8 and then just be one win away from making the playoffs. Either way, they're going to be in it. At most, they'll need two. A lot of unfair criticism. You know, the coach passed away, the assistant coach. They're 14-6 since then. Wiggins is returning. Hopefully his head's right. And by the way, you got the greatest shooter of all time. Can he propel them to make it to the playoffs? Maybe not a dynasty Warriors team that we used to, but they can win one or two games in a couple months and get there. I like minus 128 to make the playoffs. All right, Harry, what are you going with? Another West team.
Yeah, and you know what? I was pro Sacramento at the beginning of the season, but I'm off them now. Plus 210, I got them no playoffs. It's not the same vibe in Sactown as it was last season, it seems. The Kings just 1-3 straight up in the last four, and 5-7 in the last 12. They still have a three-game and a four-game East Coast road trip to take. Still have two games to play versus Dallas and the Knicks. They have Milwaukee, the Clippers, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Boston, Philly left on that schedule. Very tough. Even with Sabonis doing all he can, one of Sacramento's Achilles heels is rebounding. They're 17th in the league overall. And Sacramento, out of the top 10 teams in the West, they are second to last in points given up behind Dallas. So I'm going to say no on Sacramento. So,
all right. What seed are they now for them to be a no?
I think they're seven behind Phoenix at six, but still it's really close.
Gotcha. Yeah. Everything's close. All right. Parlay Kid, you're the only one going east here. Indiana Pacers. They're a tough watch too.
Yeah, look, I'm going to take the Pacers at plus 590 here to not make the playoffs, Sal. Mm-hmm. Right now they're sitting as the 8th seed in the East. Now, look, there's only a few games that are separating about four teams. And if I could have, the Knicks were an option here, I probably would have taken my Knicks. But what am I missing here with the Pacers? Since Halliburton has come back from his hamstring injury, he has not been the same. And he's what makes this team go. He's 8 for his last 41 from three-point range. He's really struggled from outside. And they traded Buddy Hield, who was their best shooter. So their shooting has really deteriorated over the last month or so thanks to the injury and the trade. I'm going to get them at plus 590. Right now they'd have to travel into the Philadelphia to just hopefully – get into the playoffs.
All right, let's switch over to UFC 299. Takes place in Miami this Saturday. It's like six good fights with these guys I've all bet on before. Harry, you don't recognize any of these names, right? But
I worked hard, Sal. I worked hard on my pick. I'll
you
get
did?
That in a
all
second.
Right.
I did.
We'll see. It's usually you base it on like reach inches. Yes. If a guy has like a half an inch reach, you're all over it. But Sean O'Malley, Marlon Vera. O'Malley almost a 3-1 favorite. Peter Yan. Song Yadong is more of a toss-up odds-wise. Gilbert Burns is on the card. Dustin Poirier on the Kevin Holland on the card. Is UFC 300 better than this, Bri?
Well, yes. Overall, the 300 card is awesome. It's stacked, you know, top to bottom. But this one, there's 6, 7, 8 great fights, and the main card, all action-packed for the most part. So it should be a really good one.
Start us off here with your pick, and try not to be filthy. Don't just give it to us straight.
I'm taking Song Yadong over Peter Yan at minus 106. And look, I took Yadong in his last fight against Chris Gutierrez, and he just dominated him. And Gutierrez is a really good fighter himself. So Yadong's still so young, only 26 years old, but he continues to refine his game. And now Yan, on the other hand, somehow has lost 3 fights in a row. And those are against the best of the best, but it's possible the best is behind Yan now. So Merab dominated him in his last fight. So I think Song could do the same type of thing. High output outworks Yan here to win this one. I like him at minus 106.
All right, we're all taking different fights here. Harry, I'll go to you. You said you did a lot of work. Let's hear it.
I did. You guys give me a lot of crap for not watching this, not following it. I did a lot of homework. But when we were back,
you're not going to watch. You're still.
Well, I'm not going to watch, but okay. You know, but still, I did work. And back during the Super Bowl, when we were checking out lines, I asked you about this one. This fight was very interesting. I'm going to take Benoit Saint Denis over Dustin Poirier to win in the first, second, or third round. You get even money in this. Now look. Saint Denis, 13-1 overall, 12 of his 13 wins in the first or second round. He's 28. Dustin Poirier, now 35, and he's lost 3 of his last 7, has Poirier in 2 of his last 3. Benoit Saint Denis, first, second, or third round, you're getting even money.
I like Poirier. He's been on the show, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't usually let us down. This is a 3-round fight.
No, it's a 5.
5-round fight. Okay. So that's why it's first round. Okay, that makes sense. All right, Paulie kid. You're going with an underdog here.
Well, you know I'm the master at UFC picks. So
I guess.
I'm actually always better when I go with the dogs than when I go with these heavy favorites in UFC. So I'm going to just go with Vera here over O'Malley. Obviously a pretty big dog here in this fight. Everybody seems to love O'Malley and jumping on O'Malley. I'm going to go the other way here, Sal. These guys have already fought once. Vera handed O'Malley's only loss in his career in pretty devastating fashion, TKO'd him in round 1. A lot of that had to do with leg kick after leg kick after leg kick. It seemed like O'Malley had some nerve damage at the time before he finished it off. And I think Vera's going to have the same game plan against O'Malley this time around. And when you're very cognizant of those leg kicks, O'Malley's going to be want to stay away a little bit to avoid that leg damage and might not be as aggressive on his feet with Vera. I think Vera pulls off the upset here. He's a well-rounded and well-conditioned fighter. Yeah. Let's take the dog here, Sal.
All right. He's already beat him, like you said. All right. I'm going with a slight dog here. Michael Venom Page over Kevin Holland. Page's first UFC fight. He's 21-2 at Bellator. The guy's fearless. Bought bare-knuckled and everything. He's 36. He's a British combatant. He had a great quote, by the way. He said about Holland. He says, he likes to talk,
I like to kick people in the face. This is a great match. But he does have bizarre strikes and kicks. I was watching a few highlights, a few matches of his. I think he'd be favored if he even had one UFC fight under his belt. That's kind of how it is with this. But you can't really make him a favorite if this is his first outing in the UFC. I feel like you're going to be mad whoever you take in this fight when they lose, if they lose, because there's going to be a lot of talking in the ring. I'm going to be pissed off. But I think I got the right side here. Page plus 108. That's Saturday night. Then on Sunday, the 96th Oscars, which, like the UFC, can have just as many controversial decisions. My cousin Jimmy Kimmel's going to be hosting. I'm going to be there sitting in my seat, salivating, waiting patiently to devour brisket taquitos at the governor's ball. Harry, how many of this year's Best Picture nominees have you seen?
One.
Which one was it?
Barbie.
Oh, it was just Barbie. Okay. Just Barbie. Because you have to pay or subscribe to the streaming service, right? Okay. All right. Well, listen, these are our best bets. You can find these on FanDuel, either under the Oscars tab or the special bets tab. Oppenheimer, huge favorite. Cillian Murphy, also big at minus 1600. Christopher Nolan for director, minus 4000. Robert Downey Jr., best supporting actors, minus 4,000. We could find a few bets out there. Parley Kid, why don't you start us off with one of your favorites, one of the odds that aren't out of hand one way or the other.
Yeah, well, this is still taking a pretty heavy dog here with Paul Giamatti to win the Best Actor Award, Sal, at plus 650. Man, I'm a big Giamatti fan. I was a fan of both Oppenheimer and The Holdovers. I think the two best movies of the year. Giamatti's been sweeping the Best Actor Awards and the Golden Globes, Critics' Choice, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I don't think Oppenheimer was, they were in like different categories for some reason. But either way, don't they owe this award to Giamatti? This guy's a Hollywood lifer, Sal.
Really?
And he seems to be a really good guy. He deserves this. He was fantastic. You know, he played that lazy eye thing, that whole movie. That was amazing, reminiscent of somebody we know who played the lazy eye thing for many, many years.
Harry, we're not talking about you. Don't get so offended so easily.
Well, I know I should have made a crack when Darren said that he was the UFC champ. That's the reason why he picks us. Yeah, because he loses all the week.
You missed it, Harry. All right, you missed opportunity.
I missed it.
Paulie Kid, real quick, Giamatti was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. That lazy eye was essentially a contact lens that they paint something on, and it just like floats around for like you're on a set for 12 hours. And when it was cold, it would like freeze on his eye. So that alone, maybe he should get it. All right, Harry.
Awesome. Let's go.
There you go. Harry, what are you going to go with here?
Well, I did originally like Best Costume Design and Barbie at minus 140, but I'm like part of the kid. I'm gonna take a shot at an underdog too. I'm gonna take Best Original Song. I'm gonna take in Barbie again, Sal. Second favorite, I'm Just Ken, because you and I have both been, you know, it's new, but me and you have been hearing it for like 25 years, if you know what I mean. It's just
Ken. I know. All right. We have a friend, Ken. That's Harry's boss. Harry may be fired. This might be his only employment here. But you should bet it, Harry.
It's funny. It's entertaining, that song, too. It's a lot. Yeah. Listen, remember 5 years ago, Greatest Showman, I got screwed, too, that $800 parlay. That was bad, too, when I had the song, too. But I'm Just Ken.
Bri, you are sticking with Barbie here.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Barbie. You're going to take them for Best Adapted Screenplay at plus 500. I was looking around for some plus odds here, and I thought this one was decent, because weird thing about Barbie is, when I was reading up on this, right, it was supposed to be an original screenplay, but they moved it over to adapted. Seems a little fishy, right? Even though it's not a new piece. And I think Barbie, right, they have to come out of these Oscars with one or two main awards here. So I like this at plus 500.
All right, I'm going Best Actress. I'm taking the underdog, Emma Stone, ever so slight underdog, plus 140. Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon is favored at minus 210. But I almost feel like her role, while it was great, it borderline on a supporting actress kind of role. So I'm not sure they're going to give it to her. Emma Stone is a clear lead and a bigger show for her in Poor Things. And there's always an upset, guys. I just read you five or six of the main categories. They're runaway favorites. I think this is the upset that we're going to look at. Plus 140. She's already an Oscar winner. She's a Hollywood darling. That is my pick. There you go. We did our Oscar picks. I promise, guys, basketball picks up and then baseball and hockey and all that stuff. Thanks, fellas. Hey, let's hit some winners. And Brother Bri, I'm going to try to get you Sydney Sweeney's phone number at the Vanity Fair party. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
I haven't forgotten. All right, we're going to close things out next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. That does it for this week. I'm off to get measured for a plus-size tuxedo. My thanks again to Kenny the Jet Smith. And as always, my gut-busting, bracket-busting D3, Harry, Parlay Kid, and Brother Bri. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. Please, always remember, you may feel like an underdog, but just know, you're all my favorites. Happy handicapping!